You teach science and environmental journalism at NYU, and of course you've reported on science for a long time. There seems to be a distrust of science in the Trump administration, at the Environmental Protection Agency. What are you watching or paying attention to as changes in environmental policy are proposed and implemented?
Yeah, well, there's so much to watch. So many things are happening at the same time. It's difficult to pay attention to everything. And of course, that's one of the problems, is that it's difficult to shine a light on, you know, particular rulemakings when, you know, there are 12 drastic things going on. In general, I've come to the conclusion that this president is very concerned about public approval, and that as long as environmental protection is not a particular priority of Trump's critics, which right now it isn't, there are other things that more people are more worked up about, that much of the, you know, in my opinion, damage that the Trump administration is doing on environmental policy is really happening under the radar. And some of the best journalism that I've seen has not been about the sort of big picture, what's happening to Trump's popularity. It's been much more sort of agency focused. And that kind of journalism is really harder to do. It takes time. You're not writing the same big political story that everyone else is writing. So I really salute the journalists who are doing that kind of heavy lifting agency work.
Are you addressing the Trump administration and covering the Trump administration differently with your students than the previous political landscape in terms of environmental journalism or science journalism?
Not in the fundamentals of what we teach about how to be a good journalist. I guess what has changed is that since this president, this frequency of saying things that are demonstrably not true is higher than that of his predecessors, and his attacks on the media in particular are also not completely unprecedented, but sort of in magnitude are much greater than we've seen in the past. So that does mean that what I say to my students is a little bit different. We talk about, you know, how you handle covering a public person who says things that run contrary to what is known to be fact. And we have also spent a lot of time talking about how to handle criticism and when does it make sense to actually argue with somebody that you're covering. My own view on this, Kara, has always been that our goal, our lodestar, should not be balance. You know, the idea of writing or producing a balanced story is wrongheaded. And it's especially true for stories that involve science, because science is all about assessing the weight of the evidence. So if you were writing a story about the shape of the Earth, and somebody says, well, the Earth is spherical, more or less, it's not a perfect sphere, you wouldn't feel obliged to call someone else, you know, to make sure you get in the Flat Earth Society point of view, because the weight of the evidence is overwhelming that the Earth is more or less spherical. But fairness, this sort of murkier but really crucial concept of fairness, is much better. And Trump has really driven home the perils of the what I call the phony balance approach. If you're dealing with a person that in many areas is willing to ignore the weight of the evidence, you can't cover that person by just acting like a stenographer and just quoting him the way that, you know, a court reporter would just take down his information. Part of your obligation is to show readers or viewers what this person says is consistent with the weight of the evidence and also where it is not consistent with the weight of the evidence. That's why people look to journalism. They want to know, what's the closest depiction of truth that we can get to? We know we can never get there all the way, but we can aspire to holding up a mirror to reality. And that's what the best journalists do.
This is something that I struggle with sometimes. I think people confuse environmental reporters with environmentalists. Do you think that environmental reporters and journalism is trusted?
Yeah, I do. But that's a complicated question. Yeah, and there are lots of different ways to look at it. We do have a big problem with trust among journalism in general. And we know that this problem is most acute among people who identify as conservatives or now sort of populist nationalists along the lines of Trump. Those folks, they are generally quite distrustful of media. And there are, of course, a few reasons for that. One is sort of the deliberate proliferation of fake news via social media. And second, you know, the second big trend is tied to that. And that is, as media have shifted to digital platforms, advertising revenue has not shifted with it. It has gone to places like Google, especially, and to a lesser extent, Facebook. But those folks aren't using that revenue to generate journalism. So as a result, there's less revenue to support journalism, and there's also this sort of proliferation of deliberately fake news that uses these social media platforms. So, of course, trust of journalism is declining. For science writers in particular, and to a lesser extent environmental writers, our trust problem is not quite as severe, although it is still severe. And the reason is that the public continues to hold physicians and scientists in high regard. And that includes even folks who are doing politically contested science, like, say, folks who are climatologists or atmospheric physicists who study climate change. Even those folks who are working in particularly politically contested, not scientifically controversial, but politically controversial areas of science, even those folks have very high credibility with most members of the public. So what that means for those of us who are science journalists or environmental journalists, if we are careful to keep science at the center of our stories, our stories are viewed with more credibility than typical, say, political journalism. And that's a really important advantage. I always say that science journalism's gift to the rest of journalism and really to the world at large is to build our stories around data, to make sure that we are not just constructing narratives that make people feel good or bad or angry or sad or whatever it is, but that our narratives are also based on data. They're based on good information that's scientifically derived and tested and testable. So for all those reasons, Kara, I actually think that science journalists especially, and environmental journalists too, I hope, are operating from a slightly stronger hand than journalists in general. And I see that in my own work, that the more that work is rooted in science, the more seriously it tends to get taken by a broader swath of our readership. And that is especially true for environmental stories, I think. That's especially important for environmental stories. Because you're right, there is a danger that the public can perceive environmental journalism as environmentalism, and some of their concerns are really quite justified. There are still too many environmental journalists who see themselves as activists first. They have the right to do that. There's a long tradition of activist journalism in this country, but I do think it's really important that the best environmental journalism consistently be based on science and good data. And the more we do that, the less of a problem we're going to have with credibility.
Well, it's nice to end on a hopeful note. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure to talk to you, Karen.